hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
It'll be another All Madrid final on May 28th when the top European club football trophy will be at stake in Milan, Italy. Real Madrid will meet Atletico Madrid in a rematch of the 2014 UEFA Champions League final when Real Madrid beat Atletico 4-1 after extra time. Real Madrid defeated visiting Manchester City Wednesday 1-0 to book its place in the final and move within one victory of a record-extending 11th European title. The game-winning goal came in the 20th minute. Welsh star Gareth Bale delivered a crossing pass from a tight angle that deflected off Man City's Brazilian defender Fernando and was ruled an own goal. Real Madrid advanced on a 1-0 aggregate win after a scoreless draw in England last week. Bale admits Lady Luck smiled on his club.
Obviously, you need a bit of luck in the Champions League semi-finals, which has gone our way. But I thought we controlled a lot of the game. We played very good football, very professional job, kept a clean sheet, and ultimately that's why we're in the final.
This is the 14th European Cup final for Real Madrid, the grandmaster of European soccer. At the post-match news conference, Manchester City's Chilean manager Manuel Pellegrini echoed what Gareth Bale said. Pellegrini says luck is always needed in such a big match, and Real Madrid had it with the goal coming off a deflected cross. The Man City manager says it would have been fair for either club to reach the final. Pellegrini adds he was not pleased with his side's lack of creativity.
Of course, not happy in the way we create. We tried, but we couldn't. I think that we didn't deserve to lose this game. I think that Madrid was very lucky with their goal, or we were very unlucky because it was a cross at a deflection with the ball in the top corner. Of course, that goal gave them more time to play, but both team, not only our team, I think that we couldn't create, it was very similar at the first leg.
Manuel Pellegrini guided Man City to its best ever run in the UEFA Champions League. The wealthy English club hadn't made it past the round of 16 until this season. Meanwhile, Atletico Madrid eliminated five-time champion Bayern Munich of Germany in the other semifinal on Tuesday. Once again, it's Real Madrid versus Atletico Madrid in the UEFA Champions League final on May 28th in Milan. World football's governing body, FIFA, released its latest set of monthly rankings on Thursday. Argentina is at the top, followed by Belgium, Chile, Colombia, and Germany. Rounding out the top 10 teams, according to FIFA, we have Spain, Brazil, Portugal, Uruguay, and England. The United States is at number 29 overall in the May FIFA rankings. Now let's take a look at the top 10 African teams. The Desert Foxes of Algeria are first on the continent and 33rd overall. The Elephants of Ivory Coast are one place back at 34th overall. And the Black Stars of Ghana are at 38th overall. Senegal is 43rd, Egypt is 44th, and the Cape Verde Islands are at 47th. Rounding out the top 10 African teams, we have Tunisia, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Guinea, and Congo-Brazzaville. The International Association of Athletics Federations will hold its first Diamond League meet of the year on Friday in Doha, Qatar. But you might say the sport has not been glittering like a diamond recently, having been rocked by allegations of corruption and bribery. Speaking in Doha Thursday, IAAF President Sebastian Coe said his organization has to regain the trust of clean athletes in this big Olympic year.
All years for athletics are important, but I recognize that we are emerging from a very, very difficult period in the history of our sport. And I don't specifically identify any particular stakeholder or client group. We have to regain the trust of all of them. And if I may say so, the most important client group that we need to regain the trust of is the clean athletes. The public are important, the media are important, our sponsors are important, but actually these are the people that I wake up each day trying to create systems that are safe and secure and allow them to know that when they're lining up on the track, they're lining up against athletes that are clean and that the years and years of effort that they put in, the sacrifices that their families and their coaches make in order for them to do that, is not in any way traduced. So, yes, this is an important year, and the reforms that are underway now within the organisation are testament to that.
Sebastian Coe talks about the IAAF emerging from a very, very difficult period in the history of his sport. Athletics is one of the marquee sports at the Olympics. However, last year, Russia was suspended from the sport after a World Anti-Doping Agency investigation revealed a state-sponsored doping program. And the former IAAF president, Lamine Diack of Senegal, is under formal investigation in France on suspicion of corruption and money laundering linked to concealing positive drug tests. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The National Basketball Association playoffs continue later Thursday night with a game in Toronto, Canada. The Toronto Raptors will host the Atlanta Hawks in Game 2 of their second-round series. Miami won the opener in overtime, 102-96. Remember, VOA basketball fans, all of the series in the NBA playoffs are best-of-seven games, so the first team to win four games advances. Miami announced Wednesday that their all-star big man, Chris Bosh, will miss the rest of the playoffs because of a blood clot in his left calf. Bosh has been out since the All-Star break in February because of the clot. In a statement, the Miami club said, "The Heat, Chris, the doctors, and medical team have been working together throughout this process and will continue to do so to return Chris to playing basketball as soon as possible." This is the second straight season that Bosh has seen an end prematurely because of clotting issues. In NBA playoff action Wednesday night, the Cleveland Cavaliers clipped the wings of the Atlanta Hawks 123-98 to take a 2-0 lead in that second round series. The Cavs were on fire from long distance. They made an NBA record 25, count them, 25 three-point shots. LeBron James made 4 3-point shots and scored 27 points for the Cavaliers, who put on a display of outside shooting unlike any in league history. LeBron talks about the record-breaking night.
We understand that we got bigger goals, but I've always stressed when you're able to accomplish something along the way that you don't take it for granted. And I'm one of the guys that always kind of takes it for granted because I don't ever get to appreciate what I'm, you know, a part of, you know, and I always say after I'm done playing, I'll be able to appreciate it more and things of that nature. But tonight was a special night for our organization, for all of us that played in the game, for our fans, to be able to set an all-time record in NBA history. I mean, this league has seen so many great teams, so many great players, so many great shooters and things of that nature. And for us today to be able to set an all-time record, it's special. It's truly special.
A truly special night for LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. LeBron's teammate, J.R. Smith, made 7 3-point shots against the Hawks. At the post-game news conference, LeBron was asked by one reporter, "Do you ever wonder what it would be like to play like JR for one night?"
That's almost a trick question there. What do you mean by that, where you can just shoot any shot that you want? Yeah, JR has he's the only one on the team that has the ultra green light. It's like fluorescent. Coach says, "Hey, JR, shoot it. And I just think it puts him at ease when he's able just to know, hey, when I'm open, or sometimes when guys are even not close enough, just let it go. I think what's getting overlooked in this whole thing is the other side of the floor with JR. Obviously, his reputation is shooting threes and making threes, and I know he had multiple games with 8 made threes, but people are overlooking what he's doing defensively, you know, since he got here. But it would be cool. It would be cool to take 14, 15, 17, 20. You've taken 20 before in the game, haven't you?
Last year.
Yeah, last year. Take 20 threes in the game. It would be cool.
Cleveland Cavaliers superstar LeBron James speaking in Cleveland, Ohio. It's also cool to have Dan Friedell of VOA's Learning English Department back in Studio 22. Sporty greetings, Dan.
Hey, Sonny. This is an exciting morning to be here after watching the Cavs set that record last night. It was pretty cool to see them, just everything going in.
Pretty cool. Now, are they known for their outside shooting, Dan, the Cavs?
I was looking at the stats, and Atlanta is really known as one of the best three-point shooting teams in the NBA. They had Kyle Korver, who had a percentage record, I think, last year for the most efficient three-point shooter in the league. The Cavs actually shot better than they did this year during the regular season. They're shooting well above 50% from three during the playoffs overall. So the three-point shot is definitely part of their game, and they're going to continue doing that throughout the playoffs, it looks like.
Now, the Cavs, of course, made it to the NBA Finals last season before falling to the Golden State Warriors. They weren't quite at 100%, though, when they faced the Warriors. Things might be different this time around.
So, full disclosure, of course, I like to let people know about my allegiances. I grew up in Cleveland.
Okay.
I've suffered through the Cavaliers being disappointed in the playoffs in the past, so it's fun to see them doing so well. Last year was one of those years. They had two of their three star players who got injured early in the playoffs. Kevin Love injured his shoulder early in the first round, and he was out for the remainder of the playoffs. And Kyrie Irving, their young point guard, hurt his knee during the playoffs, and he also didn't make it all the way to the finals. So the Cavs were really playing as a reduced team when they went up against Golden State in the finals last year. And they really put on a good showing. If you remember, they were actually ahead in the series before faltering to Golden State ultimately in the end.
You mentioned the injuries last year by Kevin Love, suffered by Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving. What impact do they have on the team when they're out there on the court with LeBron?
Well, it takes away some of the pressure from LeBron to handle the ball all the time. And I'm looking at some of the highlights right now. LeBron is really good when he can get some open space and take a shot. But when he has to create his shot all the time by driving to the basket, it takes a lot out of him. Even though LeBron, in the grand scheme of things, is pretty young, he's been in the NBA for a long time since he was a teenager. So you like to see him be able to play a little bit of a finesse game every once in a while instead of having to drive close to the basket and get fouled all the time to get his points.
Cavaliers now up 2-0. Do you see the Hawks maybe making a series of it, Dan?
I don't think so. You look at some of the faces of the Hawks players on the bench in the fourth quarter of that game, and they were pretty resigned. The Cavs have done really well against the Hawks in the playoffs and in the regular season lately. They were 3-0 against the Hawks during the regular season this year. They have a 2-0 lead in this series. Even if the Cavs were to lose one game in Atlanta, they'd probably be able to come back to Cleveland and close it out. But I wanted to show you a couple of notes that I made on the game last night, Sonny, if that's okay.
Sure, go ahead.
So Atlanta was actually winning early on in the game. There was a point where it was 11-10 in favor of Atlanta a few minutes into the game in the first quarter. Then the Cavs went on this three-point streak. 11 of their 12 field goals at one point were three-pointers. Right after. They made it 13-11, and 11 of the next 12 baskets they made were three-pointers. Went on to 13 out of 15 and 14 out of 16. So it went from 11-10 Atlanta to 52-27 Cleveland.
Incredible.
It was amazing. And they set a record for the most three-pointers in the first half, and then into the second half they set a record for the game without most of the starters playing in the fourth quarter.
Dan, let's head north across the border to Canada. That's where the Toronto Raptors will host the Miami Heat later Thursday night in Game 2 of another second-round series. Miami leads 1-0. One player from an international perspective, Dan, in the backcourt for Miami, Goran Dragic from Slovenia, really making a name for himself in these playoffs.
Well, you know, Dragic, I think, was seen as a strong player when he was acquired by Miami at the trade deadline in the 2015 season. But it took some time for him to integrate with the Heat. And, you know, the Heat had some time that they needed to become a cohesive unit. They've had, you know, they had to deal with LeBron leaving and going to Cleveland. They have had to deal, as you mentioned, with some injuries to Chris Bosh. But during this season, they were one of the stronger teams in the later part of the regular season. And Dwayne Wade looks like he's been rejuvenated a little bit. And some of these players who were not seen as key pieces of the Heat during their run when they had LeBron and they made the finals, I think, 3 years in a row. Those players are finally finding their role on the team. And Dragic is a great player. Everybody has known that, but he's getting a chance to be in the spotlight now.
And speaking of key pieces, Dan, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout out for another international player on the Heat, Luol Deng from South Sudan. He has visited our Voice of America headquarters here in Washington, and Deng playing well for the Heat.
Yeah, I think that the interesting thing to see in this series is how Toronto holds up, because Toronto has gotten a lot of criticism for being one of the strongest Eastern Conference teams during the regular season and then falling apart in the playoffs. If you remember, last year, our local Washington Wizards knocked off Toronto in the first round. So I think that if Miami manages to advance to the next round, obviously that'll set up an interesting Eastern Conference Finals, probably between Cleveland and Miami. That'll be LeBron playing his old team, which would be pretty interesting and get a lot of attention there. But if Toronto doesn't make it out of this series, they're going to get a lot of criticism for having a really strong team. You know, the window isn't open that long for these NBA teams, and if Toronto doesn't make it into the next round, they might have to start the rebuilding process.
Finally, Dan, let's look ahead to Friday night, the Oklahoma City Thunder against the San Antonio Spurs. The series is tied at 1-1. And I know you wrote down a few notes about game two, especially the closing seconds of that game, Dan. A lot of controversy. Tell our VOA basketball fans about that.
So the final score of that game was Oklahoma City 98 and San Antonio 97. The situation was, with I think about 13 seconds left in the game, Oklahoma City needed to get the ball in bounds to start the play. And their player was getting harassed by the sidelines by Manu Ginobili. So the first thing was, is that player who's guarding the inbounding player isn't allowed to step over the line. So Ginobili stepped over the line. That was the first mistake that the NBA referees made. The next thing was Dion Waiters, who was the inbounding player, shoved a forearm into Ginobili's chest to give himself some more space to inbound the ball.
Mm.
And then it was just kind of a cascade of jersey pulling, arm grabbing, fighting for rebounds, and the referees didn't make any calls. And so the head of the officials had to come out with a serious mea culpa saying, any one of those things should have been called a foul to kind of reset the play. And none of them were called fouls. And so it was a pretty controversial ending because San Antonio did have a chance to win the game with the last second shot, but the ball never really had a chance to gather themselves and make a good attempt at a basket.
Dan Friedel of the Voice of America's Learning English Department. Thank you, Dan. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Thursday?
Well, we have two different sports stories that are both involve our favorite, perhaps favorite, Sunny Side of Sports meme, the Michael Jordan crying meme, which we love. So the first one is actually basketball in the NBA playoffs, the Atlanta Hawks and the Cleveland Cavaliers. At halftime, the Cavs are up 74-38, which was just kind of a blowout. So the Atlanta Hawks Twitter account, whoever's running their Twitter account, had a little fun. They were saying, tweeting out, if you take away their threes, we're right in this, because they were just raining down threes. They, you know, another tweet, they said, enough with the corner threes, and they have a little gif that says, stop it. And then our crying Jordan meme, they put, at the end of the second quarter, at the end of the first half, they put up a little picture, and instead of having the 38, where the score should be, it says Cavs 74, Hawks, and just a picture of the crying Jordan face, Michael Jordan's crying face. So that speaks to how poorly they were doing. Michael, at least they had a little fun with it.
Michael Jordan's Charlotte Hornets, of course, eliminated in the first round. I don't think he was crying so much, though. They played well in the opening round.
And there was actually one of the big social media moments was him getting surprised by Scottie Pippen in his box. And you see the camera goes up on them, and he kind of pops out from behind him and surprises him. And they're hugging, and they're really laughing. So that was a really nice moment, but one that social media jumped on. A lot of these things that happen, you know, in the stands or with the famous fans that you see watching these games, those become social media moments too, in addition to what the players are doing.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, this is our second appearance of the Michael Jordan in the sports world. This is in football, however, soccer, in the Champions League semifinal. Cristiano Ronaldo jumps up and tries to grab a ball that's going into the goal. Can't do that. Can't use your hands, as I'm sure he well knows, just a slip of the mind. But lots of jokes at his expense, people saying he's paying tribute to Kobe Bryant. When they said, Ronaldo be like, and it's just a picture of Michael Jordan dunking. So there's a lot of kind of mix between basketball and football there, but I don't know what he was thinking. I guess he figured try to stop that goal he could.
It did kind of look like he was going up for a dunk almost.
Yeah, I don't know what he was thinking, but whatever it was, you know, they ended up the winning that semifinal match against Man City, so they're going to be Real Madrid versus Atletico Madrid in an All Madrid Champions League final.
All Madrid Champions League final, and once again, that game will be played on May 28th in Milan, Italy. I imagine that's still trending too, right, Andrew?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be trending as that game gets closer. It's, you know, we see this sometimes in the U.S. I remember the 2000 Major League Baseball World Series, the Subway Series between the New York Mets and the New York Yankees. So it's kind of a similar, the All Madrid series. So we're seeing a lot of the city divided, I guess you could say. We're going to see a lot of people taking sides. I don't know, maybe the mayor of Madrid. I don't know if he's a fan of either team in particular. He's going to have to tread maybe very lightly not to upset many of his constituents, but we're going to see a lot of excitement about that for sure.
Well, let me put you on the spot. I know we're a few weeks away from that final, Andrew. Are you going to back Ronaldo and Real Madrid?
Gosh, you know, I have a really good friend who did a study abroad in Madrid, and I don't know who he's. I defer to him on all these kind of, you know, Madrid-related issues, and I don't know. I think he's just excited that both teams are there. It's really great for the city, so I'm sure we're going to see, in addition to maybe a city divided, we're going to see a city that's really excited. A lot of people on social media sharing their fandom, and we may see, you know, we see little fun things, you know, you may see like a city bus. It's like has a piece of tape down the middle that says Real Madrid fans over here, Atletico Madrid on the other side, you know. Everybody, they always do those funny things. They always seem to make their way to social media. Somebody snaps a photo of it. So we're going to see, I'm sure, a lot of those moments.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much.
And we'll see you on Friday. And that wraps up the May 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks also to Dan Friedel of VOA's Learning English Department, VOA producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Although the fight for political freedom is a universal challenge, three African nations, Burundi, Democratic Republic of Congo, and the Republic of Congo, experienced a significant increase in human rights abuses related to their elections in 2015. Burundi's human rights climate took a turn for the worse in April 2015 when the ruling political party, the National Council for the Defense of Democracy, Forces for the Defense of Democracy, announced that the incumbent president, Pierre Nkurunziza, would run for a third term, which he won in July 2015, in violation of the Arusha Agreement. Human rights monitors have documented at least 474 individuals killed since April 2015, including 130 targeted assassinations. Other serious human rights abuses linked to the political crisis include extrajudicial killings, arbitrary and politicized detention, often in inhuman and life-threatening conditions, and widespread government disregard for the freedoms of speech, press and media, assembly and association, and sexual and gender-based violence. In the Republic of the Congo on October 25th, the ruling Congolese Labor Party and its allies won a landslide victory in a referendum to amend the constitution to allow President Denis Sassou Nguesso to run for a third term. 35 civilians were reported killed during demonstrations leading up to the referendum, and voters faced intimidation and severe restrictions on basic freedoms. In January 2015, political tensions intensified in the Democratic Republic of Congo when protests erupted in Kinshasa, Goma, and Bukavu over a push by President Joseph Kabila's presidential majority for electoral legislation mandating a nationwide census that would have delayed presidential elections past 2016. The United Nations Joint Human Rights Office confirmed 10 deaths, while Human Rights Watch reported 38 civilian deaths, 5 disappearances, and more than 300 arrests during the protests. Additionally, there were numerous reports of opposition members arrested in cities across the country. Abuses have continued to increase. The UN has stated that it has documented more than 400 cases of human rights violations, including 52 arrests since the beginning of 2016. In all three cases, the United States has expressed concerns for these trends both publicly and privately. Universally, it is the primary responsibility of the state to address human rights abuses through accountability and prevention. This is a challenge all over the world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Interested in deeper analysis of news and events in Africa? Then plan to join me, Douglas Impuga, on Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll have African journalists and expert guests discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. So plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.